Greetings, welcome to another edition of the FPL Addict for the FPL Dilemma for a Football Addict. Excuse me. As you can see, it's been a while since I've recorded a pod on Fantasy Premier League matters. The reason it's been so long is because I've been trying to organise guests for the show, and so far it's been in vain. I'd like to thank those people that have expressed interest and have almost been on the show. It's just been some things, some issues, you know, availability, those kinds of things. Nothing serious, but it is, I understand that you guys would like to hear some more voices on the show, and that's fine, and we'll get there eventually. But at this stage, it's a little bit tricky. As I said before, availability, like, we all have lives and things going on, and it's tough at times, but we'll get there, and we'll eventually have some more people on the show, and, you know, and should churn out some really good shows eventually with some different opinions and a different dynamic to the program. So that'd be good when it eventually conjures. All right, so the pod today, looking at budget options. So these players I'll be talking about will come in at around either between the 5.0 million midfield price bracket and under. So 5 or 4.5 million midfielders. I'm going to look at players that will be suitable for, in my opinion, for your fifth mid option. Whether you rotate this player with your third, which I don't recommend, it's up to you. I think the 5.5 midfielders is too much investment to sit on your bench if you're going for a 3-5-2. I think 5.0 million is the maximum you should really pay for a fifth midfielder. If you're going for a 5.5 midfielder like Mahrez from Leicester, then he should probably be your fourth midfielder, saying that I like Mahrez from Leicester as a fourth midfielder option as well. If you intend on playing 3-5-2 formation, I would say that you shouldn't bother listening to this episode. You just sort of might probably take with more of a pinch of salt than those guys playing with 3-4-3, because the budget fifth midfield option really sort of fits better into a 3-4-3 formation. All right, so let's have a look. So I'm just going to go through the list of midfielders and pick out the ones that are worth considering. I haven't got the list up at the moment, so I can't do that, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, I've picked out a list of midfielders from the 5.0 million bracket that I think you should be considering. And there's a few, but there's not a great deal. First up is probably my favourite of the bunch, and he's just come off scoring a hat-trick, so that's good. Then that's Scott Sinclair from Aston Villa. In my opinion, this guy's nailed on, and he definitely has attacking threat. I don't think he will have penalties now that Benteke's left. I'll have to double-check that, I'm not sure. But he'll definitely play somewhere in the attacking three behind the striker. I like Sinclair. I think he's a good pick. And if you've got that spare 0.5 floating around, which I personally don't, I probably won't go looking for it. But if you do, Sinclair is definitely an option. I think he was starting last season. He was definitely starting to show some promise before getting injured, before that Villa QPR double game week, and he never really turned up since then. I think he regained his fitness towards the back end of the season, but he didn't get back to any kind of form or showed that kind of form he was showing prior to his injury. I also think he will take on a lot more attacking responsibility in the attacking third, now that Delph and Benteke have left. Yeah, and as I said, he's just come off. The last friendly Aston Villa had, he scored a hat-trick, and I think they finished 3-3. So, you know, that's pretty impressive. You know, that's definitely a good outlier for, you know, potential form later on the season. And if you remember his days from Swansea, he had a really, really good season at Swansea before he left Man City. I think he was their primary penalty taker, and that probably suggests to me that he probably is going to be the penalty taker, but don't take my word for it. As I said, when he was at Swansea, he was the primary penalty taker, and I think he scored something like 8 goals and got 6 assists, and I think he finished on like 160 points. And that's when he was priced at approximately 6 It was either 6.0 or 6.5. So he's coming in at 5. And so I think that's extremely good value. I'm not too sure what their fixtures are like. From memory, they are not particularly good, but I'll just have a look. Cool, so let's move on to the next dude that I don't mind. Next one is Joshua King from Bournemouth. He's a new signing. I'm pretty sure he's nailed on. He'll be given an attacking role. He has been showing some promise in preseason. I think he's a good pick, but I don't know a great deal about him. So that's the only thing holding me back there. I have seen his name thrown around a bit. If you know more about him and you think he's a good option, then definitely he's not a bad option. Cool, let's move on to Harry Arter, also from Bournemouth. So he's one of the double pivot players in midfield. He's the more attacking of the two, hence his 0.5 price increase on top of Andrew Sermon's 4.5 price. He's a decent option. He actually scored 9 goals last season and acquired 3 assists. So that's very good for a central midfielder. Like, if he replicated that this season in the Premier League, then he's going to definitely probably one of the value buys of the season. Apparently, he has a fantastic long shot, and he takes a share of the set pieces from Matt Ritchie. Could be a decent rotation option. You could rotate him with Genie, the third striker position, for example. So he's another one to look out for. That's Harry Arter from Bournemouth. Cool, so let's move on to the next one. We've got Mark Albrighton, the Leicester right winger. I think he's under the radar. I think the main thing that's turning people off from him is the fact that they have the new manager and he's been known to tinker a bit, hence why his nickname's the Tinkerman. When he was reinstalled into the team last season, he was on fire. He's I think he was boasting some of the best creative stats in the league. A price hike of 0.5 was expected. He actually came in at 4.5 last season. I think he was even in my team at the start of the season, and then he wasn't getting any starts, so I eventually sold him. I think he'll play, even though we've got Ranieri in. I think he'll start Albrighton and Mahrez. I mean, if he's got any idea, he'll definitely start both because they're both fantastic players. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. We've got a guy that is inciting a lot of talk and is a great prospect for the future. We have Jordan Ibe from Liverpool. He's a good... I probably wouldn't get him in. He's just not nailed on. Yeah, he might start at maybe the first game against Stoke because Coutinho and Firmino might not play because they've just come back from the Copa America. But I don't think he will start after then. I think he'll quickly get ousted. Obviously incredibly talented, and as I said, definitely one for the future. I wouldn't personally get him in. If you're planning to use your wild card early, then maybe if you're after a punt, he might be a decent pickup. But not for me, because I don't set my plans in concrete when it comes to wild cards. Okay, so let's move on to Rolando Ahrens from my team, Newcastle. Youngster, mercuriously talented. Definitely not nailed on, and he probably won't start. If he came in at 4.5, he'd probably be a definite yes for me, but he's not. He comes in at 5. He's having a good preseason, but he's just not nailed on. If we get some positive signs in his playing time, which I don't think we have since I wrote the notes for this pod, then he's a definite yes, but we haven't. He's just not nailed on. Okay, so let's move on to Wes Houlihan from Norwich. If you're going to get a fourth midfielder from Norwich, I'd just pay the extra 0.5 and get someone else. Yeah, if you're desperate for Norwich players, I'm not. He's a bit of a veteran now, and his time's decreasing. I think he was benched like 10 times last season. When he's on the field, he has penalties, but we just don't know how long he's going to spend on the field. I wouldn't bother with this guy. Okay, so let's move on to Alman Abdi. Definite yes as a fifth midfielder rotation. If you're going to rotate with someone like Callum Wilson, Watford have a really good rotation with Bournemouth. He's probably the most talented player on the Watford roster, so I've read. He isn't completely nailed on in the attacking positions because it's a bit of a minefield. They've signed a lot of players. They've just signed Jose Manuel Jurado, so we're not too sure what's going to happen there. And they've signed someone else as well. I can't remember his name. This guy's a terrific attacking playmaker, but he has a bit of a history of injury. If he can stay injury free, he's definitely one to consider. Last season he got 28 starts with 9 goals and 2 assists, so if he can increase that to a few more starts, you know, he might replicate something similar to that. He's definitely one to consider. Next one, next few guys, I could probably maybe entertain the idea of getting in is the trio of West Brom players. I think it's Steve Morrison, Morgan Malafatana, I think his name is, the French dude. Newcastle signed his brother a few seasons ago. I think he's gone now. Callum McManaman, goodness me, and James McLean, the Irish fella, the guy that refuses to salute the something in the English, what do you call it? The song they sing before national anthem. Anyway, different story. I think McManaman is definitely a decent pick here. It's just a personal preference for me. At a time like this, I just wouldn't take the risk on picking Tony Pulis attacking players. Yeah, so James McLean, he's a funny player. Apparently his preseason's been pretty good. He's been playing a lot of left back, and apparently he's been really good. The only memory I've had of this guy is a few seasons ago, he had a good few games at Sunderland, and I actually had him in my fantasy team. I got him in as a differential, as opposed to Sessegnon, and he did really well. Sessegnon sort of dropped off, and McLean started to pick up. Ironically, they're both playing at West Brom now. So yeah, he had a few good games at Sunderland for like half a season, then he just disappeared. I think he didn't start the season after, and then I think Wigan snapped him up. I wouldn't go with any of these guys on second thoughts. As I said, they play for a Tony Pulis team. I wouldn't bother. Alright, cool. So let's move on to the super budget bracket of 4.5. I will be going for one of these guys. I'm going to take the risk and get a 4.5 on my team, and he's just going to stay there. I'm not going to worry about him. I'm not going to get a highly owned 4.5 player because there's some different theories in this. There's some different schools of thought. I fall into the school of thought that a highly owned player, if they don't do anything, their value will plummet. Okay, so let's go through the options. And yep, the first dude that comes with the rank is Victor Wanyama. He's the popular 4.5 pick because I think for starters, people just know who he is. He scored 3 goals last season, which I think is probably a little bit inflated. He won't get 3 goals this season. He's the popular fifth midfielder pick. He's highly owned, so I think he's going to lose value quickly. I think with Schneiderlin gone, Wanyama is going to take on even more of a defensive responsibility. He's going to be looking after Jordi Klaasi when he starts playing. I think he's injured at the moment. I don't think he's going to repeat the attacking effort he had last season. So yeah, not for me. But the next three guys that I'm going to talk about, or next four guys, are guys that I would definitely consider. First one's Andrew Sermon. I like this guy as a 4.5 option. He is sits in the double pivot with Harry Arter from Bournemouth. I think he has more attacking threat than Wanyama. I remember him from his Norwich days, and for some reason, I'm pretty sure he pops up now and then. He's a defensive midfielder, but he isn't going to lose value because he has little ownership. I think he's going to score a goal here and then, and hopefully, when he scores, I get him as an auto emergency. Or if I need an auto emergency, hopefully he's got one of those goals. He finished the 14-15 season with 3 goals and 6 assists. So, you know, that's not too bad. If you replicate something similar to that, that'd be great. Cool. So I like him. He's on my radar as my fifth midfield option. Right, next guy is a guy I've been drumming on for a while. If you've been following my pods and posts, he's Ikechi Anya. He's the Scottish midfielder of the year, and he comes in at 4.5. And he's probably my pick. He's been my budget pick for a while. Although he's not entirely nailed on, I think it's his flexibility that will keep him as my 4.5 pick. He can play like anywhere. He can play left back, left wing, and he can play anywhere across the attacking three behind the striker, and he loves the position in the hole. He's been starting most games in preseason, and apparently he's been pretty good. Apparently he scored like a wicked goal off a volley in one of his preseason games. Last season, he got 5 assists in the last 10 games from the left wing in the championship. That's why I like this guy. He's definitely one to look at. All right, so let's move on to the next option. We have new signing for Norwich City, Tony Andrew. I've just thrown this guy in. He's just been signed. He's been playing a lot of preseason and he's been doing well. I don't know much of this guy, apart from the fact he was signed from Scottish team Hamilton Academical. So there you go. 58 games, he scored 25 goals, so he knows where the goal is. It just really matters if he's going to regularly start or not. And with the amount of signings that Norwich making, I think, in the attacking sector, I'm not sure. Anyway, I can't remember. He's just not nailed on. So, anyway, one guy to pick from. One guy to think about. Okay. And my last pick is Ashley Westwood. Now, we probably have, if you're an avid follower of the Premier League, you probably have heard of him. I do like this guy. I like this guy as a fifth midfielder option. When he was nailed on, he scored something like, and this wasn't last season, it was the season before, he scored 4 goals and 8 assists or something. I might be exaggerating, but he did very well. And the only reason he didn't play a lot of last season was because of Tom Cleverley, and he isn't there now. So I'm assuming he should, it's either he's going to play as a double pivot with Carlos Sanchez, but that doesn't, coming to think of it, that doesn't consider the new guy Idris Gueye or something, however you pronounce it. I think he's coming from Nantes or somewhere. I think he's going to sit in double pivot, so it's basically going to be a fight between Westwood and Carlos Sanchez to get that other spot. You can imagine Sanchez might get it, but if he does nail a spot, Ashley Westwood's definitely one to think about. I had him nailed on. He was in my team today, but actually, he's not nailed on now, but he's definitely one to look out for. Alright, so let's just recap on those players that I'm considering. So from the 5.0 million midfielder bracket, I've got Scott Sinclair, Josh King, Harry Arter, Mark Albrighton, Jordan Ibe, Rolando Ahrens, Wes Houlihan, Elman Abdi, and Callum McManaman, and Jordan McLean. Yep. And then from the 4.5 million bracket, I would consider Victor Wanyama, Andrew Sermon, Ikechi Anya, Tony Andrew, or Ashley Westwood. Cool, so that's it for today, guys. Hope you enjoyed listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Because I did. See you later.